If you would turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him any more, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine, so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea. About 2,000 of them, they were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim it in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. Everyone was amazed. In verse 1, we read, they came to the other side. The other side was where no proper Jewish person would ever go. The other side was where the Gentiles were. The other side was where the swine were. They were unclean. The other side was where the dead were. Gentiles were unclean, pigs were unclean, the dead would make you unclean. This man was demon-possessed. In the United States, we have better health care, less demon possession. In other countries, missionaries report about more illness and more demon possession. Because of the residual effect of our Christian heritage, we have the best health care in the world, and we don't see the terrible effects of demon possession seen in countries who have not had Christian roots. One pastor describing this man said, "I picture his dark eyes, shifty, darting around like lightning. His face, grimaced, distorted, framed with a distressing look. His brow struck in a furrowed position. His hair unkempt, matted and mangled. His teeth brownish orange from stains. Breath that could melt a candlestick. Body odor. Not a stench to high heaven, but an aerosol from hell itself. His body naked with no dignity, nails overgrown and curling like claws, arms bloody, scabbed from self-mutilation, adorning fettered anklets from previous botched attempts of chaining. His home, a cave with a continuous smell of decomposing human corpses. No discipline, no authority, no restraint. This man was demon-possessed. Everyone is going to be possessed by something or someone. We were created to be occupied by Jesus. Today we would say this man was a cutter. Mark Gregston of Heartlight Ministries shared the following statistics about cutting as the most common form of self-injury. Those who cut use knives, razor blades, or sharp glass. This man gashed himself with stones. Today, about 80% of cutting is done by women in their teens and early 20s to cope with whatever is causing stress. Cutting should not be ignored. Loved ones, parents, siblings, and friends should not be blind to this problem. There are several types of cutters, and these increase in intensity. Some are experimenting for no apparent reason. Others are showing off. Some are seeking to shock in order to make an impression. Others use cutting for rebellion, to cause someone else pain. Some are seeking to punish themselves by cutting themselves. Some are trying to distract themselves from other deeper pain or loss in their lives. Others are trying to cope with anger by cutting themselves. Have you ever felt like throwing something? They cut instead. Some are dealing with mental issues. But overall, you could say cuts on an arm uncover gashes on a soul. Cutting has a long history as a form of trying to get their God's attention. The prophets of Baal cut themselves back in Elijah's day. Could you ever find a greater example of a person who is lost than this homeless man in the tombs on the other side of Galilee? Yet Jesus intentionally went to the other side to do business with this man who was filled with demons. The Son of God, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the second half, said, "The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." The historical facts say that there could be as many as 6,000 men in a Roman legion. This was the number of demons that filled this man. There's not a person alive who has not had to deal with the results of the reign of Satan in this world. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. There are many souls around us today in the same horrible situation. They might not live in cemeteries, but they live in despair. Their lives are dominated by things like sin, drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, and many other sins. Every day begins the same as the day before, in despair. They can find no way to escape and continue to live in defeat. This is the life this man lived. He had no hope, no joy, no peace or comfort, constantly searching for a way to escape the pain and suffering. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus saw beyond the natural man. Jesus saw what this man could become by the grace of God in his life. Change. Jesus saw a soul set free. Jesus saw an evangelist. Brennan Manning, in his testimony, told of a woman with a toddler walking past him when he was drunk in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The little child was curious and walked over where he lay in a doorway. His mother, grabbing the child, pulled him away, saying, "Get away from that. He's nothing but filth." That's probably what this man felt. Must have been sad. That's what the townspeople thought of this nameless man. But then Jesus came, and everything changed. You see, to Jesus, people meant more than pigs. There was only one who could help this man. His friends, if he had any left, and his family were powerless to live with him or to control his behavior. He had burned all the bridges that people have when they get into trouble. Now he was lost. He was on his own. No one even wanted to help him. They had all given all they could, and they could give no more. And then Jesus came. It's interesting to note that Jesus did nothing else when he was in Gadara. We don't find him teaching in a synagogue, feeding multitudes, or healing their sick. He came through the storm on Galilee just for this lost sinner. That one lost, wretched soul needed a Savior, and Jesus showed up in his hour of need. The pigs. Peter would not have been happy. 1.3 billion hogs are slaughtered every year for tasty meals around the world. It wasn't that Jesus didn't like pigs, but he points out here the value of a person compared to the value of a huge number of pigs. That should also be our evaluation of the situation. The townspeople. What message was brought to them? Legion has been healed, or the pigs have drowned. They preferred the hogs over the healer, the swine over the Savior. This conversion was too expensive for them to bear. This event causes us to ask, what do we value most in our lives, Jesus or our earthly treasure? Consider the answered prayer in this passage. Jesus answered the prayer of the demons. Jesus answered the prayer of unbelievers. He left. Jesus didn't answer the prayer of this poor man who was delivered. He said, "Jesus, can I come with you?" And Jesus said, "No, go back home and tell everyone what has been done for you." He was sent home. Can you imagine when he arrived home? These people might not have been too happy to see him at first. But he was clothed. He was in his right mind. He was changed. This man became the first missionary in his hometown. In fact, Decapolis was 10 cities in that area. Jesus brought change in his life. He brought an inner peace to a man who was out of control. Jesus changed the appearance of this man. He was sitting in clothes. When you come to the Lord, you may even change your outward appearance. Jesus changed his ability to think. He was in his right mind. When we come to Christ, we no longer doubt his ability to change our lives. Your thoughts will no longer be on the things of this world. And Jesus changed his life goals. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus sent him home. Do you have any problems in your life? How many problems do you have? This man had a legion. And Jesus is greater than any of the problems, any number of problems that we have in our lives. Surely Jesus is able to take on your problems. I'd like to end with this quote from When Jesus Comes by Oswald Smith. From home and friends, the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs, he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Do you need any change in your life? Do you need Jesus' presence in your life? All is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Is that true in our lives? Is that our experience on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis? Well, I'm not worthy to come. This man certainly wasn't worthy. A legion of demons possessed him, and yet he came. And when Jesus came, everything changed. We need this Jesus in our lives. Not only however many years ago when you trusted him as your Savior, but we need to have him make continual change in our lives. Let his presence saturate your daily living. And come just as you are. Just as I am, I come.